You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Set List, we'll hear from the Appleton band Tenement, whose latest album has earned national critical acclaim from Rolling Stone magazine to the New York Times. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Earlier this week, records revealed some of the state's wealthiest citizens, like Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley and Beloit billionaire Diane Hendricks, have had years-long stretches without paying state income taxes. Robert Mentzer is with us for the latest on this story and to round up some of the other top headlines from around Wisconsin. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
Well, let's start with the story on wealthy people in Wisconsin not paying for many years the state income tax. What are we seeing?
Sure. So we talked about this a couple of months ago when there were some leaked documents showing that the Beloit billionaire and Donald Trump campaign fundraiser, Diane Hendricks, didn't pay state income taxes for a period of years. And now it turns out it's not just Hendricks. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week reported on several other super rich Wisconsinites who sometimes do not pay a dime in state income. That included a couple of members of the family that owns S.C. Johnson & Son, the company based in Racine that makes Windex and Raid and other household products, and also, as you mentioned, Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley, not a billionaire, only a multimillionaire, who paid no state income tax from 2001 all the way through 2014.
And how far back does this go? How long a stretch are people going, apart from Chris Abley, without paying state income taxes?
So that's unusual. Most of these, this is like a whole, listen, the rich are not like you and me, Rob. This has been a whole course on how different rich people's taxes apparently are. There's all sorts of, like, there's tax credits and loopholes. There's maybe your business lost money that year, and so maybe you don't have business income, and that, I mean, that's one reason that you might not pay any income tax. The other thing that they do is they can hold over taxes sometimes for multiple years. So in the case of Diane Hendricks, also the S.C. Johnson, at least one of those people, it would be like for a couple of years they wouldn't pay. In general, the Journal Sentinel was mostly looking at 2013, 14, and 15 when they could get 15 numbers. But it's just sort of interesting to think somebody who has millions and millions and millions of dollars finds a way not to pay anything in state taxes.
The response is often the argument is they pay other kinds of taxes, maybe property taxes, or their businesses pay taxes, or they're paying people at these businesses who pay taxes, so they're not getting off scot-free.
Sure.
I guess is often the response.
Sure, if they buy a soda, they pay a sales tax as well. Yeah, and I mean it is worth saying. I mean, so one of the famous rich people that we often talk about in Wisconsin, John Menard, who owns Menards and is Wisconsin's richest man, he was found in this look. He did pay state income taxes in each of the last few years, and in 2013 he paid $35.7 million in state income taxes. That apparently is both because of the way his accounting is structured, that apparently is both his personal income taxes and his company's tax bills. But it does show that, I mean, yeah, you have a good year, you're going to pay a lot.
People on both sides of the aisle, have we seen a political response to this reporting so far?
I think that, it's certainly a bit of an embarrassment for Abley, who is a Democratic politician, and his camp said that a lot of the reason that his tax liability was wiped out was for charitable donations, and that definitely is part of the picture here. And so, in general, I think that the response is, we pay our fair share, and it's, what can you do? You try to move on. It's a little bit embarrassing, though.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network, Wisconsin, looking at the top stories in Wisconsin this week. Well, Donald Trump going to be in Green Bay with his running mate, Mike Pence. What do we know about the event in Green Bay?
They're saying he's going to endorse Paul Ryan tonight. That's the scuttlebutt, at least the advance report. The Republican nominee for president has been having a very weird week and generated a lot of headlines and quite a response from within the Republican Party when he said that he was not quite there yet on endorsing House Speaker Paul Ryan for his primary, which is on Tuesday. So this caused a massive reaction. What the reports say is that in Green Bay tonight, Trump is going to endorse Ryan. We'll see. I mean, I'll believe it when I actually hear it, you know.
And some people won't be there to hear it, including Paul Ryan and some other prominent Wisconsin Republicans.
Yeah, almost none. Paul Ryan won't be there. Governor Scott Walker, who I think is... wins this whole ball game because he's going to be in Grandview, population 163, in the Northwoods for a spaghetti dinner, raising funds for the fire department there. I feel like that's the way to go. I was just going to say the other thing that's interesting is there. You know, Green Bay really is a key place in Wisconsin for this race. It's an interesting choice for Trump. This was going to be the site of a campaign stop by Hillary Clinton with President Barack Obama immediately after she won the nomination. That ended up being canceled following the Orlando shooting, but the campaign has said that it will be back there. And it's also the site of a very contested race for the House, the 8th Congressional District, where Representative Reed Ribble, who's a conservative Republican who also is vocally opposed to Donald Trump, he's retiring. He's not seeking re-election this year. And so there's a Republican primary coming on Tuesday. And so sort of the same type of intra-Republican war is playing out in that primary. And so it'll be interesting to see whether Trump has any opinions about that race. And Frank Lessay, who is a Trump supporter, is going to be there tonight. And I think the other Republicans are not.
That visit in Green Bay, the Democratic running mate in Milwaukee today. Do you expect we're going to get a lot of visits from the candidates?
We'll see, right? Some of the key states in the election that are supposed to be swing states are not looking all that that close right now. It was reported just I think this week that the Clinton campaign is taking spending out of Colorado, which is supposed to be very, very tight and isn't. There hasn't been a whole lot of polling in Wisconsin, so it's a bit hard to say how close or how far apart the candidates are right now. It definitely fits as part of it is a necessary state for a Trump strategy. A lot of what Trump's electoral strategy is based on the sort of upper Midwest Rust Belt, and Wisconsin is at least adjacent to that, and I think important for Trump to win.
And briefly, Rob, one more weird story out of Green Bay: weird clown sightings.
Yeah, you can't fully understand how creepy this clown is until you see the photograph of Gags the Clown, who made national and international news this week, because people are calling the police in Wisconsin or in Green Bay saying that this weird clown is walking around carrying four black balloons. The Green Bay Police Department reminded a reporter who called that it's not actually against the law to wear a clown costume and walk around, but it should be. Can we make a narrowly tailored First Amendment exception here? It's very creepy. Have you seen it?
I have seen the pictures. I have not seen the clown in person.
Not
gonna lie.
Yeah, I can't say I have either. But the pictures are very, very creepy. And maybe is it a viral marketing campaign for some horror movie?
Probably.
It something else? Who knows? But it's creepy.
It's at bar time, too. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Yeah. Rob, thank you, as always, for joining us
All
this
right.
week.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau, and he joins us every Friday to round up the top news stories from around the state.